You're live.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, for another night of learning. This is Monica Plotzker, Marine Park, Brooklyn, New York. Special thanks to Jake Wyman in Denver, Colorado, and to Ari Poma in San Jose, New York. Actually, Jake is in Chicago tonight, so I know Jake is just as eager to get us through a good show tonight. So thanks to all your help. Yesterday, we had a very lively and spirited discussion talking about the it's a story about subterfuge. It's a story about extracting pearls from an oyster and the origin of David HaMelech. And we spoke about a lot of different things concerning both David's maternal line as well as his paternal line, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu put all of these things, these events, into being in order to confuse the Mebabel, so to speak, to confuse the Satan, so that he shouldn't be able to disturb what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan evolved to be. And when Avraham Avinu, one of the things we did not mention last night, was when Avraham Avinu went down to save his nephew Lot, he wasn't simply running down there to save his nephew. There are many great uncles in history, and there are many pious people, but Avraham Avinu, to risk his life, he was really risking it in order to save Mashiach, because he understood, he recognized that Lot carries with him the Mashiach. And so Lot carries with him Balak and Moab and eventually Rus and David HaMelech, etc. So Avraham Avinu, had this preeminent thought that this is what he was really going down to do. Chazal bring down the pasuk that says, Tovli Toras Picha me'alfei zahav akesef. That Tovli, it's better for me, it's good for me, Toras Picha, the wisdom of your mouth, meaning the Torah, me'alfei zahav akesef, more than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. And so Chazal bring down this pasuk that after David HaMelech had killed Goliath, everyone started to throw at him gold and silver because they were so pleased that David HaMelech had finally gotten rid of their tormentor. But Doeg HaDomi, who did not like David, went over and said, why are you honoring this individual such? Don't you know he comes from Rus? Don't you know that Rus was a Moaviah? And it's usher to go into the Kal Hashem. It's usher for David to even be a part of this union that we have over here. Until the Sanhedrin came along, the Amru, and they said, Shekach Mekuba Mishmuel HaNavi, that this is what we learned from Shmuel HaNavi, that what? Amoni v'lo Moavis, my throat's really hurting me tonight. Pardon me. Amoni v'lo Moavis, Amonis, Amoni, meaning that this refers to the men, but does not refer to the women. And that's why David said, Tovli Toras Picha Me'alfei Zahav HaKesef. We make a song out of it. Tovli Toras Picha Me'alfei Zahav HaKesef. We say this lesson, this pasuk is really sourced back to David HaMelech, because he was the one who said that the Torah Shebaal Peh saved me from the hands and from the words of Doeg HaDomi, who tried his best to embarrass me with when people threw gold and silver at my way. And so the Shavuos is as much a recognition of Torah Shebiktav as it is Torah Shebaal Peh, which is not only are we receiving the Torah Shebiktav, which is the reason why we stay up all night learning, but the fact that we're reading Megillas Rus on Shavuos is also a reaffirmation that we are also honoring the Torah Shebaal Peh, which allowed David and Rus to be a part of the Jewish people. And so that, for this message alone, it's worth it to say this Dvar Torah, even if it's only for 4 minutes. Of course, we have another six to go. But this is really the crux, this is really the root source of where we drive home the message of Shavuos and, of course, the two Torahs that we celebrate, Shebiktav and Torah Shebaal Peh. We know that we have the Torah that we celebrate again is known as a Chumash. And Reb Gershon Steinberg from B'nai B'rak had once said that the reason why it's called a Chumash is because the Torah was given to us in five places. One in Mitzrayim, and there we learned Mitzrayim, we learned about Karban Pesach, we learned about Dinei Bechoros, we learned about Achodesh Zalachem Rosh Chodashim, declaring the new month. Second, it was given Bimara, and that's when we learned about the Paraduma, Shabbos, and other laws. Number three, it was given to us at Har Sinai, of course. number 4 at the Ol Moed, and number 5 at the Arvos Malo. This is brought down from the Ma'abit. So this is, again, the reason why Chumash is known as a Chumash. It's because the Torah was given to us in 5 different locations. And so yesterday we spoke about the reasons why Rus is read on Shavuos, but I wanted to add to that so we can have some further discussion. And hopefully tonight, if there's within the next 5 minutes, if there's time, I'd like to share with you outside the Gra, meaning I'm not going to read it inside. I read it last year, but it made such an impression on me, actually 2 years ago, that I'm going to do my best to put it into my own words, because I really like to look at the Gra inside, but I'm going to share with you outside a beautiful Gra. So Megillah Shavuos is read on Shavuos for several reasons. Number one, again, as we had said, that it says in the pasuk, "Vayasam Shlomo kisei b'shvil haMelech," and this kisei was brought down that Rus was able to see Shlomo Melech go onto the throne. So she was able to see several generations down, about five generations, see Shlomo Melech on the throne, and Shmuel Anavi had written Megillah Shavuos in order, again, to represent the Sefer Yuchsin of David HaMelech, the Sefer of good lineage of David HaMelech, in order to dispel any rumors. And this whole concept, by the way, just to take one step back about why we accept the women and not the men, is because Ashlo Kidmu Lechem V'Yayin, that all this time that Avraham Avinu had gone out of his way for Lot and taking Lot together with him, and during this time frame, for 20-some-odd years, he did not receive Ruach HaKodesh, which for Avraham Avinu was a great difficulty, because he enjoyed being so close to HaKadosh Baruch. But because of Lot's presence, he did not have that Ruach HaKodesh. Because Ashalot Kidno Lechem V'Yayin, that when we left Mitzrayim, they, instead of coming out and giving us something to eat and something to drink, the Moavim, the men, did not accord us our proper honor, did not show Hakaras HaTov. However, the women were not at fault for this, because they learned, as Sari Imenu had also learned, she was a sister to Lot, that she was a Tzenua, she was in the house, and so therefore the women were not charged with the same egregious conduct that the men were guilty of. And so therefore we say, Amoni is not allowed, but Amonis, women are allowed, because they demonstrated tznius by being in the house and not being out in the field. But the men who were out in the field had that opportunity to show Hakaras HaTov to the Jewish people, and since they decided not to do so, this is a mida that we had to distance ourselves from. So the gematria, so just to close out, David HaMelech is also born and passed away on Shavuos. He was born 70 years, took away those 70 years, of course, from Adam HaRishon. And in addition, we also have that the Torah is not given to us except in certain circumstances through Yisurin, through Avoni, through, and that's what we learned through Nami and Rus, that there's a great sacrifice that people have to make in order to acquire the Torah, and Nami and Rus demonstrated that great sacrifice, in order to be strengthened the Torah, Shavah Peh, as we had just mentioned, that we talk about the fact that Lo Yova Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem, and that again is a reaffirmation of the 2 Torahs that we received. So that gives us a little bit of a closure to why Rus is read on Shavuos. But there's an interesting thought over here that says that Rus is the gematria of 606, and together with the Zion Mitzvot B'nai Noach, she was able to bring herself up to 613, and and so I see that I'm running short on time, but I wanted to focus on just a quick exchange from Boaz to one of his servants. Boaz asked, "Lemi anara azos? Who is this girl?" And this boy answered, "Nara Moaviahi," that she is from the Moabite nation. And so in this answer, it was evident that this young child who was responding tried to embarrass Rus. However, Rus, she heard what the person had said, and she did not respond. And so Boaz turned to Rus, and he said, Haloshama Biti, don't you see, don't you hear? They're trying to embarrass you. However, you're one of these people that listen to embarrassment and you never get angry. And you don't even answer these people. And therefore, I'm calling you a Biti, my daughter, because that's a Lashon of Chashivas. That is a Lashon of endearment and a privilege. And now you're more honorable to me, you're more special to me than you were in the past. And this reminds me, when I learned this mimer, that this reminds me of my father, who is a very quiet, unassuming person. And his father had told him the pasuk from Eov, told the Eretz Ablima, that the earth hangs still. It spends itself in a balance. Even though we're grounded, so to speak, we're still moving. We're oscillating, around the sun. And so we're still moving. So the earth is hanging still in a balance. It's hanging still through gravity. But don't read it this way. Perhaps you can read it a different way. Tell the Eretz that the earth stands still, ablima, on those who say nothing. And the earth stands still in deference, in honor, of those who say nothing. And this is a tremendous midah that Rus demonstrated, that she was not going to get herself pulled down, but it's so easy to get pulled into something and then to respond and then to get all upset and angry. And where does it lead? It doesn't lead to anything positive. It can only lead to further machlokas. So by staying quiet, she endeared herself to her future husband. And with this, I see him at 11 minutes, but I wanted to close out with a beautiful thought from the Gra, and this hopefully will make you think a lot about how special Rus was and the contribution that she gives to the Jewish people and the lesson that not only the women can learn, but the men as well. That we know that when men or women invite guests over at the Shabbos table, and this Yom Tov God willing should come upon us with peace and happiness, we never know if there are two people sitting at the table, which one are we giving more honor to? Let's say we have an older person and a younger person. Do we receive the same credit for an older person and a younger person? Are we getting more credit in Shemayim for honoring an elderly person, bringing that person into our home versus a younger person? What happens if we bring two middle-aged people into our home to join us for a meal? How do we differentiate? How do we know which one is getting more? How do we know which one is giving us more chosim, so to speak, in the world to come? And so the Gra addresses this by saying that whether you're inviting an old person or a young person, or whether you're inviting two people of the same age bracket, whether they're old or young, it doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is how hungry the people are that are sitting at your table. The people are sitting at your table, if one person had eaten a massive kiddush before he walked into your home, and then he comes to sit down, and the other person had not eaten anything for 3 days, you're getting a big schus for the person who did not eat anything, because you're saving that person from death. You're giving that person chiyus, you're giving that person life. And so Rus, despite the fact that she learned, that she worked in the field, all of this time, she did not touch any of the fruits, the vegetables. She could have eaten herself content and sat down at the table and allowed herself to just go through the motion and eat a little bit and really get through the meal rather quickly. But instead, she gave her future husband, Boaz, tremendous chosim. She actually merited that Boaz, who comes from Shevet Yehuda, should have this level of this great chos on a level that's tantamount to saving a life, because she was so famished, she was at near death. And because she held back, this was only meant to bring a chos to her husband. And so this is the type of Mesiras Nefesh that for us in our own day, in our own generation, appears to be so far removed. We don't find people that are so considerate, thoughtful, and selfless, that they're willing to give up everything, bring themselves to the point of danger, just to allow another person to earn great, great merit, such that he will be worthy of entering into Olam Haba. So this is a lesson that the Gra learns from Rus, that there's a tremendous understanding, or a lack thereof, when it comes to sacrifice, self-sacrifice, on behalf of one another. And if we employ some of these attributes, some of these characteristics that Rus had demonstrated, again, what we talked about tonight, about being quiet in the face of tension and adversity, number two, being somebody who is selfless, in order to benefit somebody else, that other person should benefit. These are attributes that, of course, stay with us forever, and they make a lifelong impression. And it should be a chus for all of us that we should learn from these examples and become better people as a result. This is Mordechai Plotzker in Brooklyn, New York. I'm wishing everyone a tzlacha bracha and learning. Again, special thanks to Jake Wyman in Chicago this evening, and our friends on the West Coast, East Coast, Arya Perlman on the East Coast, and all our friends around the United States and outside the United States. Wishing you a tzlacha and God willing tomorrow night. Please join us, and we'll continue this holy discussion on Megillas Rus and Chag HaShavuot.